This week's Parsha is Parsha Sazria, and the Pasuk starts, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor, Hashem spoke to Moses saying, Daber el Bnei Israel, speak to the Jewish people Leimor saying, Isha, a woman, ki Sazria, if she will sit, Veyoldo Zohar, and she will have a male child, Vetomo Shivas Yomim, she should become Tome 7 days, Kimei Nidas Devoiso, like the days that she became contaminated in her period, Titma, she will become contaminated. The contamination we're talking about, it is not a physical contamination, it's a spiritual contamination which is called Tuma. The Pasuk number 3 says, Uvayoim Hashmini Yimoil Besar Orlosoi, and on the 8th day he shall circumcise his flesh. The main focus of our shiur will be this last pasuk that it says Uvayoim Hashmini Imoil Besar Orlosoi, that on the 8th day he shall circumcise his flesh. This pasuk is brought as part of a Medrash Peliah, as part of a perplexing Medrash, and we will try to explain this perplexing Medrash. And by that we'll also dwell a little bit more in this week's Parsha, understanding the first Rashi and also the first Medrash in our Parsha. The Medrash is in last week's Parsha, where the story of the death of the children of Aharon, which is in chapter 10, Pasuk number 1, where the Torah describes that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon brought the sacrifices and they put on the altar, and nothing had happened. Then they blessed the people, and all of a sudden the spirit of Hashem came down, and a fire came down from in front of Hashem and burnt the Mizbeach and the Ola and the elevation offering and the fat. And at that point the Pasuk says Va'ikhu Bnei Aharon, the two children of Aharon, Nadav Aviu, took each person his fire pan. They put fire in the fire pan, they put incense, and they brought in front of Hashem a strange fire that Hashem has not commanded. The Pasuk continues, a fire went forth from Hashem and burned the two children of Aharon, and they died in front of Hashem. Moshe tells Aharon, this is what Hashem meant, Bikroivai Ekodesh, in those who are near me I will be sanctified, and in front of everybody I will be honored. Vayidoim Aharon, Aharon became silent. Rashi explains this pasuk as meaning, as Hashem has previously told me that the tabernacle will be sanctified by the one who is most holy, which means that Hashem was going to teach a lesson about the holiness of the tabernacle by something happening by those who are closer to Hashem. Because the person who is closer to Hashem, if he doesn't take care of the holiness of the place, then Hashem was going to teach how holy the tabernacle became since the fire came down. I thought, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aharon, that it will be either me or you, because we are the holiest people around it. Now I realize that your children, not of Vavio, are even holier than us, and Hashem chose them to be the lesson that through them everybody will know now that the tabernacle is holy, and nobody will come close to the tabernacle by doing something that he is not supposed to, or by getting too close when it is not cold. So Aharon heard what Moshe Rabbeinu said, and he became silent. The Medrash Peliah says on this pasuk, Mai Haveleile Meimer, what could he have said? So the Medrash Peliah answered, the perplexing Medrash answers, he could have said the pasuk on this week's, Uvayoim Hashmini, in the 8th day, Yimoil Besar Olosoi, that in the 8th day you require to circumcise your flesh. So the perplexing Medrash is, what connection is by circumcise your flesh to what Aharon should have said to Hashem? In other words, Hashem is praising Aharon that Aharon did not use this argument as the eighth day you should circumcise as a complaint why Hashem killed his children, since Aharon did not use it, Hashem gave him a reward, which is mentioned that the next portion Hashem spoke directly to Aharon and not to Moshe. We have to understand what is meant by this medrash, that in the eighth day will circumcise a child. How is that a valid complaint against Hashem for taking his children? The Yaroiz Dvash on Chelik Beis, Daf Reish Samach Beis, Divra Maskel VeYuvon, brings the most simple interpretation on this medrash. It brings that the Gemara in Nida Daf Lamet Aleph Omed Beis asks a question that the students asked Rab Shimon Bar Yochai, Mipnei Ma Nimoy Lishmoina, why is a child circumcised at the age of 8 days old? So Rab Shimon Bar Yochai answered, that Hashem did not want father and mother to be sad and everybody to be happy. Which means that since we mentioned in this week's Parsha that for 7 days the mother is impure, had we made a circumcision right when the child is born, then the father and mother, they will be unhappy because they can't have relationship during that time, because biblically you are forbidden to each other for the first 7 days. So they will be sad, their happiness by the circumcision won't be complete because of their situation. So Hashem postponed the circumcision till the eighth day in order for father and mother being present and also be happy together with everybody else. Everybody else would rejoice if you make it earlier, but the father and mother would not rejoice. So Hashem made it that it should be in the eighth day, or Hashem commanded it to be the eighth day in order to have complete happiness. So the Yaros Dvash explains that is exactly what Aharon could have complained to Hashem. Here you have by the circumcision, you postpone to a day because you want father and mother to be happy. That means that you are sensitive for the happiness of the Baal Simcha, of the people who are making the party. And here in the day of my greatest happiness, you decide to take away my two children, not of Aviu. In the day where I should rejoice if my wife, by all the greatness and all the covet, all the honor that was given to me in this day, and you decide to take exactly on that day my two children. And that is pshat in the medrash. Vayidoim Aharon. Aharon became silent. What could he have said? He could have said, for you to learn from the circumcision, that in the circumcision you are sensitive for the pain of the parents, and here you are not sensitive for the pain of the parents. And because Aharon did not say that, he received a reward from Hashem. In other words, he had a valid complaint, and yet he did not use it. He accepted Hashem's divine justice. For that he received a reward, like Rashi says, that Hashem spoke to him by himself in the next commandment. Sefer Yeshua's Malkoi, Lekuta Torah, Daf Ayin Hei, brings down the quote from the Medrash Tanchuma, and also a Medrash Agoda on this week's Parsha. The Medrash Agoda brings down that Tarnosrophus Orosha, who was the Roman general right after the destruction of the temple, he asked Rabbi Akiva, Eze Yoiser Meule, what is greater, creation of Hashem or creation of man? Rabbi Akiva right away understood what this person wants to do, what kind of plot he's plotting against him. He says, if I tell you that man's creation is greater, then he'll kill me because I'm blaspheming my God. And if he says God's creations are greater, then he's going to ask him the consequences from the question that we're going to see soon. So he quickly told the king, that's the way Tronosrophos is referred to in this Medrash. He says, wait for me 2 hours until I go home and I bring you an answer. So Tronosrophos says, okay, go. So Rabbi Akiva went home and tells his wife, I want you please that you should make me the best challah that you ever made, using only refined flour and oil and the best sesame that you could put on it. That's the challah that I want. She made them the best challah she ever had. He took the challah and he took with him a little bit of wheat, and he came to Tonus Rafas. Before he showed them what he had in his hand, he asked the king, "King, do me a favor. Before I answer your question, would you mind answering me a question?" So the king says, "Sure. What is your question?" Rabbi Akiva showed the bread and showed the kernel, and he asked, "King, tell me, what is better, the kernels or the bread?" So the king smelled the good taste of the bread, and he said, "Sure, the bread is much better than the kernels." Rabbi Akiva now tells Tonus Rafas, "Now that you answered this question, there is no more need for me to answer my question, because you said that the bread is greater than the kernels. So too, when you ask me what is greater, the creations of Hashem or creations of man, here is your answer, that the creations of man is greater than the creations of Hashem. The same answer you gave me, I will give you. I knew that no matter what I answer you, you will be upset. I knew that if I answered man's creation, then you'll be upset and you'll say, how can you blaspheme gods? And I knew that if I answered that the works of a God of Hashem is greater than the works of man, then you will ask me, how come you circumcise your children? If Hashem created you without circumcision, why do you feel, or what right do you have to believe that you are more complete by making the circumcision? If Hashem wanted you to circumcise, He would have created you already circumcised. Therefore, I devised this plan like that you will answer your own question and you won't require the answer from me. You see, the same way that Hashem creates the kernel, He wants a person to batter the kernel and make from that kernel a beautiful, delicious cake. So too, Hashem created man, and He wants the person to finish it up and have the circumcision. Like that, he'll become complete, and that is the ultimate goal of a Jew. By the way, which has nothing to do with what we want to say, just a side note, Rabbi Akiva marries the wife of Tonus Rafas after she converts, and also Tonus Rafas is the one that eventually kills Rabbi Akiva with the most painful death by combing his skin. Says the Shuas Malkoi, according to this Medrash, which is on this Parsha Vayom HaShmini Yimoel, on this Pasuk, on the 8th day you do circumcision, you see that Hashem wants man to participate in His miracle of birth. That even though Hashem created man, and every time a child is born is a great miracle, yet Hashem wants the person to finish that miracle by circumcising the child in order for the child to become complete. Like Hashem spoke to Avraham Avinu, "Esalach lefonai, walk in front of me, ve'yei tamim," and you will become complete. That until you circumcise the child is not called complete. He's only complete after circumcision. So we see that Hashem wants people to participate in His miracles. The Yeshua's Malkoi says, that's what Aharon could have complained to Hashem. "Hashem, you killed my two children, because even after you put a fire, they went ahead and added fire to your fire," which technically it was a defamation of Hashem. It was minimizing the miracle, because Hashem had brought the fire completely from heaven, and by you adding to that fire, you made Knau believe that you require to add from fire, that the fire of Hashem is not strong enough and you require to add your own fire in order to make things burn. Even though every day of the year we are required to put fire in the altar, even though Hashem's fire never extinguished, and you were upset that my children did this, that they put fire in the altar when it was uncalled for, and they did it because they thought that even though it's a miracle, we still require to participate in it. And where did they learn this lesson? They learned this lesson from the circumcision, that even though you make a great miracle, you create a child, and the creation of a child per se is a miracle, and yet we require to do an action in order for the child to become complete. So too, my children thought that you require to make an action, that you require to add fire in order to make Hashem's action complete, that Hashem wants us to become partners with Him in the creation, and therefore they thought that that's what Hashem wants us to do, that He wants us to become partners by the fire coming down from heaven. And since Aharon could have complained this, and he did not complain, therefore Hashem gave the reward for him. So pshat in the Medrash now is Vayidom Aharon, Aharon became silent. My Havel Elemeimer, what could he have complained? He could have complained that the eighth day you do circumcision, that even though a baby is born, you ask us to do an action in order to make him complete. So too, my children, in order for the inauguration to be complete, even though you send a fire from heaven, they decided, or they thought, that it's right for them to put a fire by themselves in order to make it complete, because they learned from the example of the circumcision. Yet Aharon did not complain, so he got his reward. I wanted to answer this Midrash with a Divrei Yoel and a Or HaChaim on last week's Parsha. Parsha Shmini, chapter 9, Pasuk number 6, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, Ze adovar asher tzivo Hashem tasu, this is the thing that Hashem commanded you should do, Vayero aleichem kvod Hashem, and it will appear to you the glory of Hashem. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh brings another perplexing Medrash, which is actually a Medrash Rabbah on Perek Yud Beis Simen Yud. The Medrash says, Ze HaDovor, this is the thing. Mahu Ze HaDovor, what does it mean? Ze HaDovor, this is the thing. What thing are we talking about? So the Medrash says, Al HaMila, that is referring to circumcision. Kamod HaTema, like it's written, Veze HaDovor Asher Mol Yoshua. In Yoshua chapter 5, Pasuk number 4, there it's written that Yoshua recircumcised the Jewish people. There it's written Ze HaDovor, and here it's written Ze HaDovor. The Medrash says what Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to them is about circumcision. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh there is wondering what is the connection between circumcision and the Hakamas HaMishkan and putting up the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu did not tell the Jewish people to circumcise on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and also Yoshua did not circumcise the Jewish people when he crossed the Jordan on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. What is the connection between the Hakamas HaMishkan, the inauguration of the tabernacle, and the circumcision? And the Or HaChaim actually says that it's talking about the circumcision of the heart, that if we circumcise our heart, we repent, then Hashem will bring His glory down. In other words, going to Rachaim, Ze HaDovor means this is the thing that you should circumcise your heart, and if you circumcise your heart, means repent, then Hashem's spirit will come down to the Mishkan. But the Divrei Yoel says it a little bit differently. He brings the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. There the Gemara says, Kol Oison Raboim Shona Shehoyu Yisrael Bamidbar, all the 40 years that the Jewish people were in the desert, Loid Noshba Lohem Ruach Tzafonis, the northern wind did not blow. You're required to have the northern wind in order for the circumcision to be healed, and that wind did not blow, so the Jewish people did not circumcise during the 40 desert years, and they had to recircumcise before they came into the land during the days of Yoshua. Why? Maitama? So the Gemara gives two answers, but we're going to take just the first answer. One answer is Mishim de Nezufim Havu, because they were being rebuked by Hashem. Rashi explains they were rebuked by Hashem because of the golden calf. They didn't deserve to have the wind, because they didn't deserve to do circumcision, because they have sinned in the golden calf. Tosfos disagrees with it. Tosfos says, from the name of Rabbeinu Yitzchak that they were rebuked from Meraglim for the sins of the spy. Tosfos explains that it can be like Rashi said, that it was because of the sin of the golden calf. The words of Tosfos, Sharei Mocha Lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem forgave him already, Ve'oma Lohem Solachti, and he said that he forgave him, She'achakach Nasa Mishkan, because afterwards the tabernacle was done, Ve'hishra Shechinasa Beinayim, and Hashem put His divine presence amongst them. The words of Tosfos are very exact. The Tosfos doesn't say because Hashem said Solachti on Yom Kippur. Tosfos says because Hashem said Solachti, Hashem said I forgave you, and also Hashem told us to build a tabernacle, and Hashem's divine presence came down. Obviously Hashem forgave us completely for the sin of the golden calf, so if the Jewish people did not do circumcision, must be because of the sin of the spies, that during the sin of the spies we did such a crime that Hashem caused after that for the winds not to blow, and because of that we did not circumcise. According to Tosfos though, we must say that when the Gemara says that all the 40 years that we were in the desert, it's not necessarily 40 years, it's a year less than 40, because for the first year we did not commit the sin of the spies, so therefore we cannot say that this is the reason, according to Tosfos, that we didn't get the northern wind. The Divrei Yoel says that now, according to Tosfos, it comes out like that. When the Jewish people went out to the desert, they did circumcision, and they were doing circumcision up to the point of the golden calf. Once they did the golden calf, then the northern wind stopped because they sinned, and they didn't do circumcision anymore because it was dangerous. But as soon as it came, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when we erected the tabernacle, and Hashem, divine presence, showed on the Mishkan of the tabernacle, and Hashem came to reside in our midst, then Hashem had completely forgiven us. Once He completely forgave us, now the northern winds returned, and now we could do again circumcision. And that is pshat in the Medrash that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh brings down. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh brought down the Medrash that said, Zeh HaDovor, that this is the thing that you should do, and the divine presence of Hashem will appear. The Medrash says that this is referring to circumcision, and we ask the question, what connection is circumcision to the erection of the tabernacle? Now the answer is, the connection is that as soon as we built the tabernacle and Hashem's divine presence came down, like Tosfos explains exactly those words on the Tosfos that we mentioned, now the northern wind came back. Once the northern wind comes back, we are required to do circumcision again because it's not dangerous anymore. Until now we didn't do circumcision because we were rebuked by Hashem. We did not have repentance. But now that we have divine presence coming down from heaven here, the Hashem forgave us completely for the sin, and now we could again circumcise. True that we lost that right again when we sinned by the spies on Tisha B'Av, on the 9th of Av, and since then, until the end of the desert years, we did not circumcise. But between Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Tisha B'Av, according to Tosfos, we did circumcise because we were completely forgiven for the sin of the golden calf. And since we're completely forgiven for the sin of the golden calf, then the northern winds came back. I wanted to say that this is the argument that the Medrash refers to when it says Vayidom Aharon, that Aharon became quiet. What should he have said? He should have said Bayoim HaShmini Yimoel, that in the 8th day he should circumcise. Because Rashi on Devarim chapter 9, Pasuk number 20, there it says, Vaharon Esanav Hashem Oid Lashmidoi, that in Aharon Hashem became very angry, Lashmidoi, to destroy him, that Hashem wanted to destroy Aharon for the sin of the golden calf. And destroying, Rashi explains, means killing all his children for the sin of the golden calf. Vo'espalel gam ba'ad aharon bo'is ahi. And Moshe Rabbeinu says that he prayed also for Aharon in that time. Rashi says, Vohilo tfilosi lechaper mechza. And my prayers helped enough to atone for half. Umeisu shnaim, and two died. Venishara shnaim, and two died. In other words, two sons of Aharon, not of Aviu, died, according to Rashi, because of the sin of the golden calf, and two remained alive because of the prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu. Comes out, according to this Rashi, that the reason that Nadav and Avihu died is because of the sin of the golden calf. So I wanted to suggest that this is Pshat in the Medrash. Now we see from Zeh HaDavar, according to Tosfos, that this is the thing. This is the thing is referring to circumcision. That because the Hashem's divine presence came down, Hashem forgave us completely for our sin of the golden calf. So much so that Hashem restored for us the wins, and we again are allowed or required to do circumcision. So Aharon was complaining, since we see that you forgave them for the sin of the golden calf, and that is the reason that my children died, why did you kill my children? How do you see that you are forgiven for the sin of the golden calf? Because the pasuk says, "Uvayoy mashmini yimol besar alasoy." Because from the eighth day now we could again recircumcise. If we could again recircumcise, that means that the winds have come back. If the winds have come back, that means that you have forgiven us for the golden calf. If they have forgiven for the golden calf, how come you took away my children? How come my children died? Because according to Rashi, my children only died because of the sin of the golden calf. So since Aharon could have argued that, and he did not argue, therefore Hashem gave him the reward that Hashem spoke to him directly on the next commandment. Pshat in the Medrash, I wanted to suggest, is Vayidom Aharon. Aharon became quiet, that even though he had the argument, and he had could say that you forgave all the Jewish people for the sin of the golden calf, so how come Vayibayom Hashmini Yimoel Besar Alosoy, that in the eighth day we could do circumcision again, and now you forgave the Jewish people, so how come you didn't forgive my children? Since he didn't complain, Hashem gave him his just reward. We will analyze the first Rashi in this week's Parsha, and after we analyze the Rashi in this week's Parsha, we'll be able to give another answer on the Medrash that we mentioned. The first Rashi is bothered by a question. Why is the laws of the impurities of animal written before the law of impurity of human beings? Last week, in the end of Shmini, we have a discussion, what are the clean animals, what are animals you could eat, and now what are the unclean animals, what animals you cannot eat. The laws of non-kosher creatures that transmit contamination, spiritual contamination, tumah, and we also have the laws of smoke creeping animals after they die, if somebody touches them, how they become contaminated, the laws of objects touching those animals, what happens to them, how you purify them, and the laws of contamination of kosher animals after they die, and that is written before we mention any impurities of men. So Rashi says, Omar Rab Simloe says, Keshem sheyetziroso shel Adam, the same way man was created, achar kol behema chayev of, after all domesticated animals, wild animals and birds, b'masa bereishis, during creation, because the birds were created on the fifth day, the animals were created on the sixth day, and after that man was created, kach toirosoi nisparshes achar toiras behema chaye vav. So too the laws of impurities of man, it's written after the laws of domesticated animals, wild animals and birds. Rashi is explaining, according to Rav Simloe, that since in creation man was the last thing to be created, so therefore it brings the laws of impurities of man as the last thing. The Sifse Chachomim asks a question on this Rashi, that if you're telling me that the laws of the Torah are written in the same order as creation, how come man is written after woman? The laws of Metzora which is the next portion, which says Adam ki ye b'or besoroi, when a person will have affliction or leprosy, the way we call it, but it's really not leprosy, but just an affliction, which is written in the next following chapter. Why isn't it written before women? We know that men were created before women, and if that is so, then it was supposed to be that men's law should be written first, and in the end is written the laws of the women. Tifsech HaChomim answers that we have a rule that Todir v'she'enoi Todir, Todir koidem, that if you have something that is constant and something that is not as constant, we always do the what is constant first. The same reason that the Shir Shel Yom, the song of the day, is always comes before the song for the special holiday that we have. If you would have a special song, let's say Rosh Chodesh, where we say Baruch Nafshi, or Chanukah, where we say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis, those special songs of the day will always come after the Shir Shel Yom, after the song of the day for that day, because daily songs are more constant than those songs. So we have the rule Todir Sheino Todir, something that is constant and something that is not constant, we always refer first to the one that is constant. If you have two prayers, you have Mincha and Musaf, and both are in the same slot, we are supposed to first pray Mincha, because that is the constant one, and after that we're supposed to do that not constant. So since it's more constant for women to give birth than it's constant for a person to have leprosy, therefore the laws of birth are written before the laws of leprosy, of tzoras. The other answer that Tifsech HaChomim brings down is that since one of the reasons for leprosy is when a person is not careful with his wife when she is impure, if a person has relationship with his wife when she is not supposed, when she is tome, that is one of the causes of tzoras. Therefore, has to give the laws of birth and the laws of nida, the laws of menstruating women, which brings the person to become a leper, a metzora, and that is the cause of it. So it's only proper that we write the cause of those things before we even mention the laws of men, of tzoras, of leprosy, because that is the reason why leprosy comes. Devanez explains that truly the laws of men should be written before the laws of women, but since it's impossible for a man to be born without having a woman giving birth, so therefore it chooses to write the laws of women before we write the laws of men. This is seemingly a very strong answer, but if you analyze it, you'll see that there is a very strong question on this answer. And the question is that it is true that it is impossible for men to be born without women, but that cannot be the excuse or the answer why the Torah chooses to write women first. Because if that would be the answer why we write women first, then we have an argument that women also cannot be born without men. So therefore, since one is dependent on the other regardless, then the Torah should have followed the order of creation. And that is not answered by the Evan Ezra. And other question, if the whole idea that is writing woman first is because the woman gives birth to man, then the Torah should have written down Isha ki sazriya v'yolda zachar, a woman who gives birth and has a child, v'yoyim hashmini imol besar arlosoi, right away in the eighth day you should circumcise the child. You shouldn't go into the details of the tumah of the woman. If the whole idea for writing down is only because woman gives birth to man, then you should get it over. Write down a woman who gives birth to a male. In the eighth day, you should circumcise and then go all the laws of tumah of man, and then afterwards tell you the laws of tumah of women. Therefore, the Gur Arya comments that all this argument, why don't we write the laws of men before the laws of women, is only a question only if we learn that man was created first and then women was created from men. In other words, that man was created, and then Hashem took a rib, the literal explanation of the Torah. From that rib, he formed a woman. Then our question is a good question. Then we could ask, how come it's written first the laws of woman and then the laws of a man? But it is actually a machloikas on Eruvin Daf Yud Ches Omed Alef, on the pasuk on Bereishis chapter 2, pasuk number 22, where it says, "Va'even Hashem Elokim es Hatzela," that Hashem built the site that they are taken from men, and he made it a woman. Rav Shmuel have a disagreement. Chad Omar Partzuf, one says that Hashem just split the figure, that men and women were originally created as Siamese, that they had two figures, that a figure of a man and a figure of a woman, that were attached together. And all Hashem did when he split off man and woman is exactly that. He separated the bodies from man and woman. And Chadomar, the other one, says Zanov, that Hashem took a bone from the tail section of a man, and from that he made a woman. In other words, our traditional rib story. Which means that one opinion says that it was a Siamese. Men and women were created at the same time, and then Hashem just split off the woman from man. And one says that man was created first, and the woman was created from a bone of man. So if I hold that men and women were created at the same time, then we don't have a question why the laws of women are written first, because Hashem could have picked any one of them to write first. So Hashem chose, either because of the Sifse Chachomim's answer, to write the laws of women first. But if I hold that man was created and then woman, then our question is a question. That's what the Gemara explains. And just, I'm going one more step in the Gemara. The Gemara asks a question, according to the opinion that men and women were together, they were Siamese, and then men split off woman. We don't understand what does it mean vayiven, that Hashem constructed the tzela, the bone. Why does he need to construct? All he did was split them apart. So the Gemara answers that Omar Rav Shimon ben Menasya, that Rav Shimon ben Menasya says, Melamed shekilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu lechava ve'viyo la'odom harishon, that Hashem braided the hair of Chava and brought it to Adam in order for Adam to desire her. Hashem braided Chava's hair in order to make her look beautiful, and like that he brought her to Adam. As it's known in the islands of the sea, that the word braiding is called binyasa, it's called building. When it's written in the pasuk that Hashem built the site that he has taken from woman, means that he actually braided Chava's hair to make her look attractive for Adam. On this interpretation of Vayiven as being braiding the hair, there is a Rab Simloe that Medrash Tanchuma brings down in Parshas Vayera, Simen Aleph. There, Rab Simloe says, you should know that all the ways of Hashem Yisborach are kindness, that in the beginning of the Torah, Hashem beautified the bride, as it is written, that Hashem built Chava, that he braided the hair of Chava, and in the end, he buried Moshe Rabbeinu, he did a kindness that he buried Moshe Rabbeinu in Gai, and in the middle, he actually went to visit Avram, but when Avram did the circumcision. So you see that the beginning, the middle, and the end, everything in Hashem is kindness. We know that Nadav Avihu were very righteous people, because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu consoles Aharon by. He says, I thought it's going to be me or you, and I realized that they are greater than us. And Moshe Rabbeinu is quoting, that's what Hashem said. Moshe Rabbeinu would not quote what Hashem said if he just wanted to console Aharon, unless it was true. The Shloka Kodesh in Chelik Beis, Mamar Torah Shebechsav, brings down that anything that is closer to Hashem, Hashem judges more harshly. That Hashem judges those who are closer to Him in Midas Adin with judgment. Therefore, he explains that that's why you see that great people, holy people, they get punished for seemingly minute things. And the same thing happened to Nadav Avihu, that because they were so great, Hashem judged them in the attribute of judgment, of Din. He gives example, like somebody who comes in closer to the king, he has to make sure that his clothing are cleaner. The closer you are to the king, then the more you have to make sure that your clothes are cleaner, that you don't have any sin. But that is only if I believe that the tzaddikim should get din because they are closer to Hashem. But if I believe like Rab Simloah, that Rab Simloah says that the beginning and the end of the Torah is kindness, that means there is chesed the whole Torah, and for sure the people that keep and practice most of the Torah, which means the people that are closer to Hashem, they deserve even stronger chesed, even stronger kindness than the children of Aharon, since they are closer than anybody else, because they were even greater according to Moshe than he and Aharon, should have not be treated so harsh. This argument that they should be treated with kindness works only if I hold that men and women were created at the same time, because then we have the pasuk that says that Hashem built the rib or built the side, and we have no way to explain what does it mean to build. Therefore, we have to say that it means that he braided the hair. And if he braided the hair, then Rab Simloah has a proof that this world is kindness. But if I say that man was built and then Hashem took the side of man and built women out of that rib, then we don't have to say that Hashem braided the hair of Chava. So we have no proof anymore that this world is beginning and end, the middle, kindness, because by even then would mean really built. But if we learn like Rab Simloah that the whole world is kindness, then we must say that Vaiven means that Hashem braided the hair of Chava. If to say that Hashem braided the hair of Chava, we must say that he holds the two parts of him. Then Hashem created men and women, he created them together, and therefore he didn't have to build anything, and they were created Siamese, men and women together. And if I say they were created Siamese, then we don't have a question why the laws of women take precedence over the laws of men, because since they were created at the same time, there is no reason not to take precedence. So comes out according to this that is what Aharon was trying to argue with that medrash that we mentioned. We mentioned the medrash that Vayidom Aharon remained silent, that Aharon had an answer for Hashem, but he chose not to give. So what answer could have given? They could have given Uvayoy Mashmini, in the eighth day you should circumcise the child. We mentioned that the Gurari asks a question, how come that pasuk is not written right away? And he says the question is only valid if I learn that man was created and then women was created. But if I learn that man and women are created at the same time, then the pasuk that says in the eighth day you should circumcise the man, that is in its proper place. It's after the laws of women, which means that we hold that men and women were created at the same time. If men and women created at the same time, we must interpret Vaiven that he built the tzela, he built the side of the woman, we must interpret that it means that he braided the hair. If he braided the hair, then we know from like Rab Simloah that the whole world is kindness. If the whole world is kindness, why did you kill my children? Why weren't you kind to my children? And yet Aharon did not complain that, therefore he received the reward. Again, Aharon was bothered that the pasuk of Sazria, first it's written the laws of woman, and then it's written the laws of man. Bayoy Mashmini is written out of place, because Bayoy Mashmini should have written right away after giving birth, Bayoy Mashmini Yimoy, and they should circumcise. You don't have to tell me the whole story that the woman becomes Tamer for 7 days. So obviously, since you do tell me the story, it's like the Guraria. The Guraria says that if I learn that they both created at the same time, then we don't have a problem. If they are both created at the same time, I must interpret the word that Hashem built Chava, that Hashem braided the hair. If Hashem braided the hair of Chava, that means that the world is chesed, the world is kindness. If the world is kindness, then how come you killed my two children? You should have been kind to my two children. If I learn that high people are always judging the attribute of justice, then Aharon has no right to complain against Hashem, because since they were so holy and they did a minute thing wrong, then Hashem uses his attribute of justice and punishes. But from the pasuk by Yomashmini Yimoil, that they used to do circumcision, from there we learn, the Guraya learns, that he holds that men and women were created at the same time. If men and women were created at the same time, then we must interpret even that he built, that he actually braided the hair, because there was nothing to build, he just split them apart. And if he braided the hair, then Rav Simloa's statement is correct, that the beginning and the end of Torah is kindness, because we see in the beginning Hashem braided the hair in order to make the color beautiful. The end, he buried Moshe Rabbeinu. In the middle, he visited Avraham Avinu. So we know that the whole Torah, the whole world, is kindness. And if it's kindness, then Aharon has a question, how come you killed my children? And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should behave the proper way, and we should again merit to have the Shechina in our midst, and could be that the merit will come from the mitzvah of circumcision, or could be the merit will come from us keeping family purity, us keeping the laws of Nida, and could be that it will come from us keeping the laws of Lashon Hara, like the Mefarshim explain that Metzora is called Moitzira, a person who brings forth evil, that most times a person became leper because he spoke bad on his fellow man. And this week is a good time to rectify this sin, that we should only speak nice on our fellow man and not anything derogatory, and like that we'll able to rectify the sin of sinas chinam, of idol hatred, that caused our second temple to be destroyed. And if we do that, then we'll merit to have Moshiach Tzidkenu come, the Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt, the Shechina come down like it was in the time of Aharon, Dimhera Beyameinu, Amen.